Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Can't you feel me? Tell me, girl.
Baby, I love you. Oh, I love you. Holding you tight through the night.
I just wanna love you, oh yeah. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and I am joined by some of the sexiest poets that I know. Got in here first, Ms. Lisa Lev. How you doing, Diva?
Good. What's up, Diva?
I'm good, I'm good. Let me bring in my other sexy diva. We got Essentially Janice. How you doing tonight, Essentially?
Good evening, ladies. I'm doing amazing. How are you two?
I'm good.
I'm
good.
Honored to be sharing space with you guys.
I know,
oh,
I know.
Thank
I haven't
you.
Been able to talk to you guys in a while, so this is awesome.
Yes, yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Divas Talk, and this is Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network, and the dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please, by all means, press that 1 to join us. We'd love you to. And this is sponsored by Raw Links. Why the average when you can be raw? Divas, I got my Raw Links on. You got yours on?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's right. I know that's right. And before I continue, I want to give a big shout out to someone who's a very, very good friend of mine. But he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is also the CEO and creator of Raw Links. And his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Baby, baby. And you can acquire these beautiful gemstones and precious metals and jewelry that we speak of over on Amazon. And you can grab them at rawlinksbraw@facebook.com. And if you can't get them at either one of those places, make sure you holler at any of us here at Epiphany, and we will make sure that you get to adorn your body with beautiful pieces of jewelry. Now, Divas, tonight, this is a continuation from our pilot show last week, and we are discussing energies. You know, everything is based in energy and vibration and frequency, especially everything that is alive. You got the trees, you got all the plants, you got especially us, but our attitudes and the nature of us, period, vibrates at a certain frequency and gives off energy. Lisa, how do you deal with people energies that they bring to you?
I'm the person that lays back in the cut for a minute and see what it feels like to be around you. You know, if your energy is not off, I could be cordial, you know, but mm-hmm. if your energy feels off, I'm going to find a way to cut it a little bit short. You know,
okay.
I don't deal in negativity because you deal in negativity, it eventually feeds you. So if
okay.
I'm feeling negative energy from you, then I'm going to back off of it because I don't want to eat none of that negative energy.
Absolutely. Do you believe that you can absorb other people's energy and take it with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can go. I have been places where I felt like I was in a good mood and I roll in the room and it's just that haze of that funky thing you can't put your finger on. And by the end of whatever time I'm in that room, I'm starting to feel the weight of it, you know, and wanting to get out of that space.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to turn the question over to my other diva. Janice, how do you feel about that, about the different energies?
Well, you have a whole introvert in your space right now, so... The way I process energy, I tend to recharge in quiet spaces and safe spaces, one-on-one. That's a recharge for me. Group settings, that energy for me depletes me. And so, and it's not to say that one is right and one is wrong, but that's just how I process energy. And so when I'm in spaces and it's too much, I tend to step into listening mode. And so I may say less, and it doesn't mean that I'm not engaged, but I have to step back a little bit to kind of, like, protect myself and to make sure that I'm not being depleted too quickly.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. Although I'm a people person, I love being around people, but because I'm as sensitive as I am and I pick up on the energy instantly, I don't really care for crowds of people. And I know that probably seems like an oxymoron because I'm a poet. I'm a performer. So I'm going to be in crowds and you know, around a lot of people. But I'm kind of like what you said. I'm an introvert. I've learned to open myself up. But I'll always be that introvert, and I will fall back.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, recharge. How did you – when you guys – okay, so let me say it this way. When you were younger and didn't understand the feelings that you were getting, how did you deal with that? Did you do the same thing that you do now? You fall back and go into a quiet space, or did you just stay there and – like be a little raveled?
Well, for me, I was always perceived as shy. So I've always been a little bit quiet, but I've always been observant. And I've always been just reserved, like both back then and now. But I think my tolerance level was different when I was younger. So it didn't overwhelm me as much back then.
Okay.
And I think as we get older, my experiences sometimes wear away at my tolerance level, and it was less that I was able to kind of take in without reaching my breaking point. So it was, I didn't have a name to it too yet back then too. I didn't know what to call it. I just knew that I wasn't shy as often I was told that I was shy. I was like, no, that's not me. I'm not shy. I'm just actually not in a space where I'm going to open up yet. And so I found that I was often misunderstood because of that. And then later on, I stumbled on the phrasing of being reserved. I'm like, that's it. That's exactly it.
Okay. Lisa, how did you handle it?
I was always kind of a loner. Yeah. And I grew up in a different time because I'm a little older than you two. But I grew up in a different time where children were seen and not heard. And I was also an interracial child, and we lived way out in the country. So I learned how to be happy in my own space. So being in a group of people, I would, like, feel energies but not sure what I was feeling, you know. And I was always more affected by like the sad energies and things. So I would sit in a corner by myself, and sometimes my parents would accuse me of being brooding or being, you know, and it was just because I could feel the sadness in people.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you recognize that it wasn't your sadness when you felt it?
I didn't know exactly what it was. I just know that it, like, if I let myself absorb the people that were in the room, that I would just have this overwhelming urge to want to cry. So I learned how to kind of focus my energy inside and play in my own little fantasies. I'd have my little toys and just kind of cut everybody off. And I tend to be that way now, and people now accuse me of being aloof because I tend to be in my own space and I don't suck in all the energies that are around me. So it's been difficult. It worked for me in business because I was a news producer, so if I could be stone-faced, then it kept everybody else kind of on even keel, because I learned real fast that if I got frantic, all the reporters did too, and they didn't know what they were doing, and the whole newsroom would turn upside down. So I learned how to just kind of cut off those energies and you know, and just be there and kind of see what everybody's doing but not let myself absorb those energies.
Okay.
You know, I have a follow-up thought to that, honestly. So sometimes I feel like those who are highly sensitive that absorb energies, have you noticed that you also can feel, like when you mentioned if you're frantic, those around you start reacting that way too? Have you noticed that you can project how you feel as well?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I have. I've noticed.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it's hard to explain it sometimes. I remember in particular one time in the newsroom, there was a bickerment between two people in the newsroom about something. And I kind of walked up behind the guy who was yelling the loudest and put my hands on him. And he's like, what did you just do to me?
Mm-hmm. Listen. Mm-hmm. Mm. That is amazing.
It's real, too. When I was a kid coming up, because I grew up in a very, very large family, extremely large family. It was 12 of us plus some adopted kids. Two sets of twins. I'm one of a set, and I have older sisters that are twins. My family was very toxic, so I was afraid of everything because I was made to feel like I had to walk on eggshells around everybody and everything that they did. And it was like a do as I say, not as I do type thing. It doesn't matter what somebody else was doing. It's okay for them to do that, but it's not for you. It's not okay for you to mimic that behavior or do it. And it was completely innocent with me because you do what you see as a child. So as I got older into my teen years, I still was nervous around people, and I didn't come out of my shell until I got in maybe my late 20s. And it didn't help with my husband being, and he was diagnosed with this, having a narcissistic personality disorder. I don't use that term loosely like a lot of people do. They tend to say that their partner or their friend is a narcissist, but it goes much deeper than just a person being controlling. You know, when you live with somebody that has that actual issue, oh, man. But at the same time, his energy strengthened me, and I learned how to focus. Because I had to always be on guard with him as well. But then I brought children in the world, and it was a whole different type of frequency that I was on because I was in straight protective mode. You know, when you become a mother,
everything
switches up, you know, and you don't even really realize that you're not feeding into that other part of you that was afraid all the time. Now it's a different kind of fear. It's a fear for my children, not for myself. It's a protection thing for my baby, not for myself. And that's protection from the world for mine. All right, see, my neighbors like to be at the party. and the most part of my life, even my so-called friends back then, which we are not even associated with one another anymore, they didn't understand how I could call them on their bullshit because I could feel their energy. And that would piss them off. They're like, you know, and they would like turn on me even more because I could tell the truth about them. And I didn't let their little secrets or anything out, but when it was a one-on-one thing and I didn't learn how to talk to people one-on-one or give the courage to do it one-on-one until I got grown as well. One thing I can say, I noticed a lot of people were very nervous around me, but I didn't know that was in my energy that I was picking up on. When I was younger, I thought it was me, you know, and I did have a little bit of scary in me, but a lot of people, and I don't know why, but when they came around and they were kind of nervous, and it would jar me to the point where I couldn't differentiate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I read something before about how when you're like that, you are actually a mirror. And so they're seeing something, they're seeing themselves in a true light, and they don't like it. That's that nervousness.
I understand that now.
showing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. It is true. I am a mirror to a lot of people because I don't, for now I don't pull no punches. It is what it is. And I believe it's because of my relationship with the Creator. My spirit is very, very strong and very protected. So that energy that comes at, they try to project on me, it doesn't get through. And when it goes back to them, they don't like the way it feels. So
right.
They're like, you know, they're quick to say, I don't like this bitch. You know, who she thinks she is. And I'm just, y'all know me. You know how I am. I do not give off that I'm better than you attitude or anything like that. You know? But, yeah, when you are reflecting that bullshit back to them, they don't know how to handle it. It seems
I'm really right, working
on that. Because they think they hide it better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they've covered themselves. They know the kind of chicanery they're up to, and they try to hide it from people. And when they walk into the room with somebody who reads straight through them, it pisses them off because they think they're better at it than you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, ladies, what I'm about to do is let us get into some poetry. Because we are definitely going to continue this conversation.
Okay.
But I'm interested in the, we got callers in here, and I want to hear their, you know, their thoughts and opinions on it. But since you ladies are my guests tonight, I get to pick who goes first and who goes second. I'm going last. Miss Liz, would you do us the honor of blessing our ears with a piece?
Absolutely. When you asked me to co-host the show and you told me it was about energy, I thought about when I felt the most energy, and that's what I wrote this piece based on.
Go ahead.
Okay. The piece is called I Just Want to Be the Moonlight.
The mic is yours.
Some people want to do too much, but I just want to be the moonlight, illuminating the darkness just enough that there's no fear in the shadows, making the unknown just clear enough that exploring possibilities of what could be isn't so frightening. I want to whet your curiosities, make you want to dive in deeper, trying to find what's just beyond the next turn. I want to reveal enough that you want more and give way to the beauty of discovery. I want you to seek out the treasures hidden just beyond your reach. Find out just what it is that makes my glow so beautiful, yet mysterious, and keeps you hungry to follow my moonbeam. I want to illuminate the surfaces that are taken for granted in broad daylight, just enough that the idea of searching through them makes your heart race just a little bit to see. I remember as a child walking that tenth of a mile from home to grandma's house. In the midday, it was just a few steps to go hang out in her kitchen and have a few snacks and listen to her stories. But at night, as soon as I stepped outside of the electric light from the back door, the journey was an adventure. Every sound was alive. The swish of the grass against my feet till I reached the Turtleback Road. The tap of loose gravel against my fishhead sneakers till I hit the solid road surface. And the sound the rubber made with every step. The chirps and drips and clicks and babbles of the woods growing on both sides of the road as I listened for wildlife moving about in the shadows. The sounds of insects flying and crawling and going on about their business of living. And the feel of the moist night air on my exposed skin. It was the same few steps I made in the light. but somehow more alive when my vision wasn't as clear. And I loved it because now the journey was so much more than just reaching the destination. It became the focus. And that was where I learned myself. So I just want to be the moonlight, illuminating ordinary pathways in extraordinary ways and inviting you to find something new, more intimate within yourself as you explore me, a journey with no ending, only new awareness of everything that exists between the familiarity of you and me. I'm Lips, and you've just been serviced.
Yes. Oh, man. Eva, you want to go first on this commentary?
Absolutely. Listen, I was smiling so much at the very beginning with the tone that you set, talking about the moonlight illuminating the darkness just enough. That was so visual. I could see it and I could feel it and I could agree with that. I love moonlit nights. I don't like the darkness, but when it's the moonlit not darkness, it feels different. You can see
right.
enough and like, yeah, and I could feel all of that. You talked about revealing enough, just enough to make the person want more to be able mm-hmm. to then see the beauty. So I could feel all of that, and I loved how you, like, slowly painted that picture. This is beautiful. I really love this.
Oh, yes. When you – I forget what you said about the journey began, but then you said – every sound was alive. Right there, mm-hmm. I'm a Pisces, so I'm always in my head. I'm always in a fantasy. And I'm seeing all of this. Even the shoes that you described and every step you take, I'm seeing a child walking and sometimes maybe running, and I can hear the gravel and the stones up underneath of every footstep. Everyone moves. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And then, yes, what you said, Janice, about I don't mind the dark anymore. I used to be horrified of it, but I don't mind it anymore. But I can focus, and I can hear. I love the moonlight. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I love to hear the sound of life. I love to hear the sounds of crickets. I love to hear the sound of the night birds. I love the smell and the sound and the feel of the night wind, all of that. This piece right mm-hmm. here, it just took me there. Lisa, girl, yes, I love it. That brings about an amazing energy, yes, because it's the little things that I enjoy more than anything, and that's what it
and
does.
And something, yeah, it's something about, like, when you're out in the daytime, the sun is out, it's out wherever you are, and if you find some shade, sunlight finds its way through some of it. But at night, mm-hmm. when you're outside in the moonlight, it's almost like the moon follows you. Wherever you go, there's enough light around you to see, but nothing is really lit.
Absolutely.
That's the thing
Absolutely.
That I love about the moonlight reflects.
Oh, yes. And you know what? I'm going to say this last thing, and then I'm going to get over to Johnny. Where my bedroom is at, the moonlight always comes through. It doesn't matter. It always has done that in this house that I live in, and I love it, and I so look forward to it. Sometimes I'll go to sleep, and it'll wake me up because it's hitting me right in my face. And it's wow. just, it's such a beautiful thing to see it. I talk to the moon. I don't know about y'all, but I talk to the element, you know. But that piece was absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Kiva. Thank you so much
thank
for that.
You.
This is how we start things off, I see.
Okay. Yes, 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 yes. And I love it. I love it. Now, Johnny, I'm going to back out of the way. Now, I'm adjust the spotlight. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. So this piece is inspired by a piece of music that I will share in, on the event page. The title is The Elephant in the Room. I hear my excitement. I recognize its cadence, how it feels like quickened breaths dancing across ivory keys, and as closed off as I may seem, that isn't really me. I'm almost free enough to tumble forward a little too carelessly. I just hear my missteps, sounding like an occasional B-flat, and I'm at odds with the elephant in the room. You have my attention, but I've questioned the soundness of my decision. I feel myself falter, knowing that I need to talk about this and actually address it. I'm hesitant. My excitement is notably checked, and the pounding I now feel in my chest is fear of recurrence. Did I once again somehow will this? If I resist the peace I find in silence, will you hear me? We listen, and the blending of our voices and conversation still has my heart racing, but this is just different. This is different. I hear my excitement. I recognize that I actually get to dance across those white keys in whatever the state is of my being. Acceptance doesn't insist on silencing hesitance, nor dampening another's power. It doesn't highlight mistakes. Instead, we chose a composition that highlighted us. We just needed to adjust the elephant in the room, essentially.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That was beautiful.
Go ahead, Diva, you first.
That was beautiful. It's, first of all, let me just address the elephant in the room. Janice is beautiful on the mic. The way you sound, the way you present your pieces, it just is so warm and inviting and sensual, the way you present yourself. I love the way you put your poetry out. And this piece was like perfect for the way that you present. Because there's always an elephant in the room. We all just don't always acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in this piece, you know, you tell all the pieces of that elephant that's there and then make it have to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the lines in there, my excitement is notably checked. Ah, man, girl, you be hitting me with them lines, but it's like Lisa said, you are a powerhouse. I get excited because I want to know what it is you're bringing next to us. And you always paint this picture where I am in the piece. I can hear, I can see the street that you're on, how it's lit. I can hear people. I can see the birds flying, everything. And then there are pieces like this where it's a intimate setting. It's like a dimly lit room, maybe by a fireplace, by the fireside, and there's a gentle piano playing in the background and a soft violin, and it's silence, and where you can only hear the crackling of the wood in the fireplace, and you're talking, and he's sitting there across the room listening to you.
I love those visuals.
That's what I get, man. I'm telling you, I get that. Wow. And it's amazing. It's really, really amazing.
Oh, no.
My neighbor is like, he likes to be seen, so y'all have to excuse that noise in the background. You know, speaking of energies, he has that energy where it's not a bad energy, but it is loud all the time. He has to be seen all the time, regardless of what he is doing. He talks loud. It's just one of those energies like, look at me, I'm here. I want your attention all the time, you know.
And
a middle child.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, it's almost like that. It is almost like that. As a matter of fact, but he's not a middle child. He's actually the baby of the family over there.
Okay.
And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Since I've known him, he's always been like, look at me, you know. Not literally saying that, but that's just the energy that he gives. I'm just like, I use other terminology, but I'm going to be nice. You know,
I am ready to hear your piece. What did you bring tonight?
Okay, so this is a piece that I recently wrote, and I actually did it last night for the pop-up show, which was amazing. I wish you guys had been there. It was called When
Oh,
Kings
I caught the
Speak.
Last half of it.
Yeah,
okay, I caught the last part of it. I wanted to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, check the, if you can, try and catch the playback because it was really, really a good show. So I'm going to do this again. Be patient with me because I get nervous, but, and this is untitled, okay. I am ready for love, all of the joy and the pain, and all the time that it takes. Just to stay in your good grace. I am ready for love. Ready to build with the one who not only comes in peace, but is at peace within. Ready for the ultimate collaboration, that bond sealed with light from the highest consciousness where nothing can surpass, enter, or break it. Beautifully balanced, agreeing that together, when in the eye of the storm, it ain't always so bad. Mind, body, and spirit in sync, it's the happiest triad. Where just the presence of our presence gives, loves, and supports without even trying. Energy generated so amazing between us, it leaves us flying. But not be so blinded to some bad days to come. Just know enough good ones to not interrupt the peace built between us, the peace built and kept between us. I'm ready for love. Ready for the one to where the more that I trust him, the stronger I feel within. And that I've kissed every last one of my healed scars, so he knows my love is from the stars. Ready for he who chooses heart over ego because he knows where his safe space of trust is located when he falls into my arms. Oh, yeah, he knows. I'm healed. I'm here to heal and bring balance, to prioritize his peace of mind, but do no harm. He can feel when I pray for him, so I keep him covered. Because he's got this on the physical plane while God and I handle his spiritual struggle. That means ain't nothing and no one getting in our way because I'm in this for the long haul. So I want us to ride inside each other's love, always speaking to the king in him. See, I'm a child of the seas and wind, but also of where the light begins. They say, watch what you ask for, because you might receive. But if you ask me tomorrow, say the same thing. I'm ready for love. And that's that piece.
Yes.
too.
Looking out with the song. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, that India Irie piece always makes me feel the feels anyway. And hearing how you wrapped your poetry in it, it was amazing. I love the way that your mind works when you write these pieces. There's such depth to your pieces, and that piece, it did the song justice, absolutely.
Thank you.
Love it when you sing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I love how your piece complemented the song and the song complemented the piece. It went from, at first I was just sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to borrow all of those manifestations. But what I loved is the shift into, this is how I'm also going to pour into you. The healing and bringing balance. Oh, my God. I loved that. And doing no harm. I was, I felt all of that. I loved that. And that's what we want, right? That's all we want to do. We want to be able to give that. This is beautiful. I'm glad I got to hear it.
Thank you. Now, what I'm going to do. Uh-oh, where's my other device? Because it is 9:55, and we need to do a station identifier for every hour. So I'm going to do a station identification break. When I come back, we're going to open up this first microphone and get some more poetry up in here. I'll be right back.
Tiffany Radio.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tiffany Radio. And this is Divas Talk. Divas, are we ready for some more poetry from these poets calling in? Because I am.
All right,
we're going to open up this first mic to C-Double 34 Music, y'all. Hey, C-Double, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
Janice, Lisa,
hello.
Danielle. Ooh. I'm doing very well. I thank you for your energy, and I thank you for the invite.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's always open mic here for you. Don't even play with it.
Absolutely.
Yes, I enjoyed all of your pieces. Like I said, you brought an energy that is very calming, very legit. It needs to be listened to. So I thank all of you for that.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Right. Well, we want to know, I know we talked about this last week with you, but energy is everything. So I'm going to ask you the questions that I asked my diva. How did you deal with this, with different energies And did you actually pick up on them when you were in your adolescence? And how did you deal with them?
You're talking to a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. Wanting, even though I was an introvert and I was, I call it Michael Jackson shy. You know, it was like that, is it all right if I come down there and sing to you? That kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Painfully shy. And it got to the point where I would settle for those that were not for me. And by trying to please them, well, relationships did not work. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember the energies they had. And it was more of a, I'm in charge, I'm the head, you know, I'm the be in charge, all that stuff, except when it came down to the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
That was my playground. But
okay.
Everything else, I was like, I was that baby face. I was that, what is that, ready or not, after seven, I'll give you my love,
mm-hmm.
my time, my heart, my, you know, all that crazy bull crap that I shouldn't have
mm-hmm.
done.
Okay.
Fast forward to now, being married. If you don't follow God's energy, you're going to end up in that same place. So
mm-hmm.
when God strengthens you and shows you what a man really is, hey, I'm living proof.
Get it. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
We got three introverts here. And Lisa, I don't consider you to be an introvert because you said you were more of a loner, and that takes a certain amount of strength. I wouldn't necessarily call you an extrovert or an introvert.
I kind of ride that middle ground. I can get along in a crowd, but I'm fine by myself as well.
Okay. I like that.
I have to say. To C-Double, I've been on Epiphany now for going on 2 years, and I always love the way the energy shifts when you come in the room. You have a power in you that comes through when you touch the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You are very assertive and very direct, and that definitely speaks all man. So, my diva is right. I agree with her. Absolutely. I'm glad you didn't wear out tonight because being that energy. I know that's right. Oh, all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of, I heard you. Speaking of energy, I made a comment on girl that I follow because he speaks. He doesn't speak a lot of nonsense. When he speaks, he makes very profound points. And a lot of it is about his life experience. So me being very spiritual, I don't use the word God a lot. I say universe or creator. And he was speaking on how he sometimes is hard being a man. Because of everything, there's a lot of weight on the shoulder, especially being a real man, not going for the softer side of life and just handling his business, doing the work that needs to be done. And it seems like as much as effort as he puts in it, some men, it's just never enough for certain people, and he's just mm-hmm. tired. So I was telling him what I say to a lot of people, just breathe deep and easy and understand that the universe always has your back. It ain't so bad all the time. And this other person came in and she replied to my comment with an attitude, like I wasn't supposed to refer to the highest power as the universe. I was supposed to use the word God. It's God. God will take care of him. And I said, tomato, tomato, potato, potato, it's all the same. It's still a divine power that is behind us. And she got her attitude again, but I'm like, some years ago, that energy shift with that type of person trying to force me into their belief system would have affected me greatly. I'd have been trembling, like, oh, my God, I said it wrong. Let me change up. But now I'm ready. Bring it. Please do. I got you. I promise. You know? Yeah, that's how I handle that kind of energy, because there's a part in the Bible that says he's called by many names. Okay?
Right.
I identify right. with the Creator as the universe. Okay? And that's all it is, but I'm still talking about the divine, that divine spark that all of us have in us that has our back. But I ain't going to go no further into this. I want to hear this poetry, because you never disappoint, Lee. You never disappoint. So what I'm going to do, ladies, move back, ladies. I have to get down off the stage. I'm going to adjust this spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you, ladies. This piece is called Hood Rat. Hood Rat. I've had you before. This message is for you. You accuse me of abuse, playing with my livelihood, all because I was, am not, accepting of your advances. And I don't have to wear this ring. In my heart, I'm married. I take my labor seriously. I'm a servant of this community. But when you see me, I'm unlike the others, and you're new to this. Gentleman quality of genius and generosity, because you want me to want your body again. I've had you before. Your pornographic comparison in this world star fantasy draft, you ain't about this calling. You're all about the Benjamins with emphasis, the bling, the money, and who can freak you under the covers. But I'm not one of them. So what's up with that? You're disgusting. Don't touch my back. Your hands are the knives and claws calling me to get my thickness in your drawers, dog. But I've been there before. Analyzing all the positions as you want me to put script, font, calligraphy on your kitten that satisfies you to blissful submission and the surrender when dinner is served to, but I ain't with it. Your conditions are filthy by definition, and yet you want to kill me because I won't give in to your vision. Listen, we know what this is, yet my reputation is stellar, as anyone will tell you. You want to break me down to the cellar and cause me to be a beggar to you. I won't give you the satisfaction of having your butt cheeks bouncing like hydraulics on the streets of Compton. Come on, chick. I won't relinquish my power or my position that I've been given, because the Lord is with me. Even though I forgive you, you're not karma, and you're not a stripper. But my precise disrespect is coming in your direction. I'm devoted to God, my wife, in this life. And you have no clue of who you're messing with. Learn your lessons before you step to a real man, because your life is going to start reeling, and layers will be peeling. I'm saying this as peaceful as I can underneath your hurt feeling. One day, God will show you what a beating is, best believe me. Now be gone. Leave me. C-34 Music and Stereo. That's that piece.
Yeah.
And that. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to have you cloned so that we can all have one like you.
Too much competition, Miss Lisa.
Go ahead, ladies. I'll wait. Go ahead.
So I'm dying at World Star Fantasy Draft because identified where this person relates to, and I was dying. Also, you said that your precise disrespect is coming in her direction, and then said something about this is as peaceful as, you know, I can present it. Like, there's nothing peaceful about precise disrespect. Like, that sounds like tightly, like, I feel bad for this person. Get out the way. Get out the way.
Right. No. Do not.
I have seen these conversations happen. I in my mind, I could see this chick, and you know, they always get like 10 steps away from you, and then they hurl insults at you. Then you must be gay if you don't want me, all that kind of craziness. That's the kind of chick I could see in my mind while he was doing this piece. But he just stood solid in his manhood. I love it.
No, wait a minute. Ada called Hood Rat.
You're right. Dead from the title. Like, are you, oh my God, are you serious?
Ladies, this was based, definitely this was based on a true story back in 2016.
Yeah, I knew it was.
Wow. You know what?
Awesome.
I gotta be honest. Your voice and it's intentional what you say, and you're so direct. It draws the females in. That's why you have the issues that you have. It ain't your fault that you develop that baritone, but you know. I think you're aware of the energy that you put out, that vibration, that frequency that you're on when you go to speak. So, you know.
Yes. At 100%, I know who I am and where I stand, and you can't shake me that he puts out. I love it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's such an assurance. In your energy, man, and it's all good. That's what men are. So that's how you're supposed to be secure and know who you are. You know. So
let me ask this. So it's not my booty, it's my beauty. Is that what's going on?
Well, personally, I haven't seen your booty.
See,
okay.
I've already described it. It's a Hank Hill hairy ass flat thing. There you go.
Oh, Lord. I must have missed that part because I was trying to gather my grandbaby together. His daddy came and got him. But I caught that other part, you know. Let me ask you something, C-Double. Exactly how deep can you make your voice go?
Well. I can go deep like Jacques Cousteau, pretty much.
All right, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone because this is no longer the erotic love zone. This is Jesus Christ, okay? And I ain't bring no. I want to sit still and finish the show. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm
I already passed out twice, so.
Wow. So what I'm going to do. And thanks to Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer, we have a name for our lounge. It's called the Temptation Station. I'm going to escort you over there. And I want to thank you for coming through, as always, supporting us and bringing those amazing pieces that you bring to us.
And, so you know, just remember, corn will always be family.
I'm going to leave that alone. Come on, I'm sticking my arm out to escort you over here.
I need a stand.
One love.
Yes.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic
to all of you beautiful ladies.
Good night, C-Double.
Wow. Ladies,
I have
ladies,
a
saying
right
ladies.
Now. I wasn't ready.
I'm never ready for C double. I don't care how much I think I'm never ready.
I'm gonna play a song on that one. Okay. And then we'll be right back, Luke.
All right.
Always been thought to be one of God's most precious works. I guess that's how she had you fooled, because she was an angel in disguise. Hurt and pain could never come from her, so you left me only to find that hurt and pain involved her. But now you see your mistakes, and now you see your angel was a fake. My love was never misplaced. Hey baby, my love is true. And most importantly, girl, I love you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Tiffany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press that 1 to join us. You have approximately, I believe, 40 minutes to get up in here, because after 11 o'clock, that Blog Talk lady ain't got no chill. She will cut you off at the knees, I'm trying to tell you. All right? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's open up this next microphone to our Canadian connection. We got another diva up in the house, Lady A. Hey, Lady A.
Hello.
Welcome to Jesus Talk. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. All listening right. to this show. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are absolutely talking about different energies. I'm going to pose the same question to you that I posed to C-Double. How did you deal with the different energies that you felt around you as a child, or did you not pick up on any?
Well, yeah, that's a pretty potent question for sure. I grew up in a violent home, so there were some very powerful negative energies, and I sucked my thumb. I had a blanket till I was 13 and sucked my thumb. That was my best friend. I spent a lot of time comforting myself in those situations, and I found that through my life, that's what I've done when things have taken place that are traumatic. I've crawled into myself and tried to comfort myself, because the negative energy was too much. It sometimes can push you over the edge, and I've been close to that many times in my life. But I feel that despite whatever sadness is taking place or whatever negative energies have tried to drown you, that there still is life worth living. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I absolutely get that. To reiterate, I still fuck my thumb to this day. That was my security blanket as well, so I get it. Trust me.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I still smell my blankets and my sheets after they've come in off the line. So, yeah, it still has a comforting effect for sure.
Absolutely. I didn't have a blanket that I kept with me, but I would twirl a part of my hair always on the right side in the back. It was a piece of hair that I would always twirl around my finger, and I would suck my thumb. And that was my security. I still catch myself pulling on that piece of hair in the back. And
yeah.
But I'm not conscious of it most of the time. I am conscious of when I fuck my thumb. And honestly, I had stopped sucking my thumb for a long time. And when I quit smoking, which was 8 years ago, I started back up. I had to do something, you know, and that automatically kicked in. I stopped getting my nails done because the nail tip was getting in the way of me putting my thumb in my mouth, and it was like scraping the roof of my mouth, tearing me up. So I was like, that's it. All this little vanity stuff, it's got to go. So that's it. No more nails being done. But yeah, I still, you know, now it's more so when I am completely comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, I don't suck my thumb. You know, so I got to watch when I'm around my people, you know, y'all in the poetry community, because a lot of people don't know I suck my thumb. You know, made me reveal the secret about
now y'all know.
Well, guess what? If we do meet and greet and you see me in the corner with my thumb in my mouth, just know that I am completely comfortable around you guys. Okay?
Listen, I'm for that. I'm for that comfort.
I am too. Feel free.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there any questions you divas want to ask, Lady A?
I did. Like, it was a follow-up thought, and I feel like I lost it briefly. But I guess I'm curious about what light there was for you during that time. I know you had the comfort with your blanket.
Yeah.
But what was your light, maybe? Or
I don't know. Like,
recognize
I've often asked the question, like, when I compare myself to my siblings, I have two sisters and a brother, and when I compare myself and to see how we all turned out, both my sisters married abusive men. My brother mm-hmm. became an abuser. One sister and my brother were heavy drinkers. I'm not, and I remember saying, and I don't know why I was a survivor this way, but I remember saying when I was down in the basement, I was probably about six years old, and I was rocking myself. It's another thing I did, and crying and saying, I'm never going to marry a man like my father. I'm never going to be like my mother. And that was sort of like a light that flickered on that was mm-hmm. a goal in my life, that I never wanted to be that way. And I didn't want my kids to feel that way about me. But it backfired because I have three kids and they're grown women. I'm divorced and they have never forgiven me for leaving their father. And they've never wanted to talk to me about it. Anytime I tried to, they would get angry. And so it has left some very, I don't know if I'm going to get through this, but it has been very difficult to accept because I was entirely different than my mother. And I gave them everything that I had of myself. And when I say that, I don't mean monetarily. I love them still today.
That sounds like your new resolve. The resolve that you had when you were a child and what you told yourself you weren't going to allow, what you're saying right now is your current resolve. You knew mm-hmm. you knew you did your best. That's your current resolve. That's your light right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I have to think that way because other than that, it's been pretty dark the last year or so. And sorry. But I think we have, we can be who we are. And if people don't like that part of you, mm-hmm. I had after my mother died, my two sisters told me, which was so shocking to me. They said, we don't like you and we've never liked you. And
wow.
I was devastated by that because I couldn't believe it, first of all. And so there has
been... I kind of feel like that, because I've been that person too. I never wanted to be the person that I saw my parents being. And because of that, a lot of people think that I think I'm better than them or that I see myself. And the biggest part of it is that they see their own weakness and the fact that you were strong enough to pull through it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, I agree with that, too. And I think a lot of times when I think back on my life, I put myself through school. I became a registered nurse. I was, I worked. I dreamed that my whole life, and I did what I had to do to get to that place. And my older sister tried twice to get through nursing school, and she failed. And I think – and my younger sister just has been so angry all her life that she's never – been able to do anything with her life. And so in parts of that, I think you're right, Lisa. I think that jealousy plays a role, or they look and see
mm-hmm.
their own failures maybe in my success. And I don't mean
mm-hmm.
to say, even as I say that, I feel kind of like, oh, that's a kind of a conceited thing to say, but it's not, because I had a successful life. I have a successful life. And the success for me is being able to love the people that you love and be friends with those that are your friends, and just be a caring, giving person without any violence in your heart or in your life. And that's my success story, you know, because I didn't succumb to the to my childhood horrors.
Right.
Yes. You found
yes.
your strength
yes.
to overcome
yes.
what
yes.
you
yes.
have been through.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those who
yeah.
break those cycles, it's always challenging. It's the most challenging for the ones who break those cycles, honestly. But that's what
yeah.
you did.
Yes. But I want, you know what I want you to do? Now that you recognize these things and can understand what exactly it was that was going on back then, you own your life. You own it, and you don't downplay it for anybody. Never disown your life and what you got going on for you, okay? Let that
Thank
be
you. You've been, Danielle's been a big help for me in the last couple of years, and you've really helped me sort a lot of things out and have been very good to me in that sense and taught me a lot, and it's helped me immensely, especially in the last couple of years. It's been so difficult, but you've been there for me, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you, sweetie. You know, I don't like to see people stay in that place where, you know, it's a depressed mode. And, you know, depression is nothing but your body telling you it doesn't like where it's at. That's all
yeah.
it is. For you to move out of whatever space it is that's causing you discomfort. So I want people to move out of that space. You go ahead, you face it. You acknowledge it, and you get past it. And it's not that simple, but these are
no,
the steps
it sure isn't.
We,
no.
must go
sure
through
is.
In order to get in a better place, in a better space mentally, spiritually, and physically. Because when you improve, when your spirit feels better and your mental space is better, physically you feel better.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a fact.
Yeah.
You know, the human body is an amazing machine, and it has to be maintenance, and that's part of our maintenance. So, like I always tell you, sweetheart, just leave people where they are. If it's meant for them
yeah.
to be in your life, they'll be there. If it's not, then their season with you is over. It's time for you to
even
keep
if they're
moving.
My kids.
Don't stay there. Yeah, even
yeah.
if they're your kids. Because we
yeah.
weren't designed, we were not created and designed to deal with depression and anger and hate and all of that stuff, okay? We were designed to get back to our original place, and that's love. But it's got to
yeah.
be love for yourself first, okay?
Yeah.
And you can't love yourself staying in a space where love does not fit, okay?
I work hard at it. I work hard at it every day. Sometimes, like, you know, you get talking about it too much, you get teary-eyed. But I do work very hard at it to stay positive and to look
yeah.
at good things in my life and in other people's lives, you know. It makes me write, too. Like, I have to write things down to kind of sort things out and it's difficult to think that the way my grown daughters are, like, it's hard to look in the mirror and say, can you not find one thing about me that you still love, you know? It's been really tough.
Listen to me, don't leave your development or loving yourself up to somebody else. You don't need anybody's validation. You don't need outward validation. You love
no.
yourself. And everything else that's beautiful will follow. It's not up to somebody else, baby. It's up to you, okay?
Yeah.
Leave them where they're at. Whatever it is, they have to work through that. It's not your job. You're not obligated to help them find their happiness, okay?
No.
It's,
and I have to find my own.
You're obligated to yourself. That's right.
Yeah.
And tears are
yeah.
nothing but cleansing. So however long you have to cry, however much you have to cry, you go ahead and you continue to do that cleansing, because you'll get tired of it one day. You will be tired of crying.
I write about it. I was going to read a piece that I wrote when did I write this? Last year, I guess, or just this past April. And it's it's called The Good Mother. And it's a poem about us, about my children and me, and I just want to share it with you.
All right, well, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I believe I'm good, a good person, a good mother, one like no other, gifted what I could give fully, love. Love, my mission in raising them. Stories and songs, and every night tucked in, telling them they belong. Looking into innocent eyes and pressing my cheek against theirs, my love pouring into them. My girls, they went to bed each night filled with love. Reading bedtime stories and poetry, books worn from fingers turning pages. All could speak in full sentences at the age of two. Conversations all day, eye contact when talking. Freedom to be who they were, freedom to express themselves happy or sad. My girls were important. They were individuals with their own gifts. I believe I'm a good mother, one like no other. We spent summers on the beach, running on the sandbars at low tide, digging clams and chasing seagulls, collecting shells and swimming, hats and sunscreen, T-shirts. Still, their skin was golden. Days spent carefree and filled with wonder. I believe I'm a good mother, one like no other. A big galvanized tub filled each night with well water. The next day, the sun warmed it so I could wash the girls' hair. Following an adventurous day at the beach, no hot water, but boiling a kettle for each one enabled baths. I believe I'm a good mother, one like no other. Clean jammies, bedtime snacks, bedtime reading and sing-along. Crawled into the big double bed with an iron headboard and giggles for minutes, then quiet. I loved going back into the room to see their shiny, sleeping faces, feeling so grateful, so happy, so content as I looked upon those lovelies. I believe I'm a good mother, one like no other, growing up, homework, swimming lessons, skating lessons, Christmas and dollies and games and new jammies and matching dresses, dinner at Nan's and tiny glasses for apple juice poured from the green bottle. That house was filled with love, peace, and joy, such love like no other. I know I'm a good mother. Through turmoil of teen years and heartache and tears, drugs, the law, bad friends, and more heartache. Love them, teach them, lead them, let go and be there when they fall. Some come out of the twilight zone and some stay stuck. Then mommy becomes the blame for their bad choices. I know I'm a good mother throughout it all. I love them. Learning throughout, no matter how much you love them, teach them and lead them. They look upon you as the reason for their pregnancies and addictions and all other bad choices they made. They are adults well over time to take responsibility for themselves. I know I am a good mother. End poem.
That was beautiful. That was
Thank
beautiful.
You.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. You are absolutely right. You were an incredible mom. Listening to that story, yeah, I wish I had had those things. You know, my mother felt so obligated to my father that whatever he said was the rule, and if he felt she was spoiling me, then she pulled it back. And so she wasn't doing all of those things that she could have done as a mother because he didn't approve. Because my father was also diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder and had to be the center of attention. So it was better for him to keep everybody else at odds with each other so that he could be the only person everybody came to.
Oh, my God, that sounds like my ex-husband. Wow.
And your kids know their father. They knew what he allowed them to see. You saw a different person, and So their dislike of you leaving him is what they thought he was, not who he really was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, you hit the nail on the head right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it all stems back to him and his insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissists always play victim. And whomever it is that they can get on their side to make it seem more like they are the victim, that's what they do. Yeah. That's how they manipulate. That's how they move in this world. And they're very successful with it because people don't see how he really is, the true colors that the individual that he targets sees. They never get to see that side of him unless it's like a surprise thing. They walk up on it and they just stand and observe and be like, oh, damn, he really is like that. She's been telling the truth all this time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're master con artists. It doesn't make them more intelligent, but they're very, very manipulative. And
mm-hmm.
I went through the thing. His goal
is to be number one. So right now he is so happy that the kids are mad at me. You know,
of course he is.
They just, he's just thrilled with that. But I don't let it consume me. I can't because it'll drive me crazy. And it's all I can do now to just keep on the right way to go. Like just keep straight and look up and I do. I ask God every day to give me the strength I need to get through all of this.
And not just asking, know that God is giving the strength. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where people fall short. They ask, but they don't. They say, I got faith. But when you're asking, you have to really, truly understand and know that you are being helped. You are being backed by God. You are being lifted up. You will be being protected and covered. Have this in mind every time you go to speak to the Creator, okay? And it will change your life for you. I promise you that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it may not come in my lifetime, and my kids may realize. After I'm gone, who knows? But but I thank you for listening to me and caring.
Always, baby, trust me. Eventually, you're going to find your smile. It's inside somewhere, but you're going to find it, and you're going to find you're happy again, too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, it's within you. You have that power within you to make that change with what's going on with you, okay?
Thank
I
you.
Promise you that. You won't be all right, girl. Stop playing.
Right. In the meantime, you got all of us.
There you go.
Exactly.
You already know what it is. You already know what it is. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask my diva, Janice, would you escort our diva over to the Temptation? What the hell did he call it?
I was going to ask you.
Temptation
Station.
Oh,
yes.
This is new,
so
y'all got to forgive me.
We need some clarification on that.
And I wrote it down in one of my notes.
We appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
One love,
one mic. Love you all.
Love you too. Wow, ladies, it's time for me to do another station identifier. I'm going to hit this and we'll be right back.
All right.
Less love.
right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to Epiphany Radio. And you are listening to Divas Talk. Now, my divas, we are coming to the end of the show, but we have a little bit more time. I actually would like to do another piece, and I'm asking, would you like to throw another piece in there as well before we close this out?
I'm sure I can find something.
Right. I'll find something.
Well, okay. Well, what I'll do first, and
okay.
I mean, it's up to you. If you want to go first, you can go first. That's fine.
Mm-mm, I have to find one.
All right. Well, I guess I'll give y'all some time, and I'll do this piece. And I know you guys have heard this one before, and this is called Indigo Child. Sometimes when you wake, thank you. Sometimes when you wake, you just want to know, who can you run to? Who can you turn to? Let me show you. See the suns in the east and the moon reflect like the knowledge and wisdom I manifest. If you want to go to heaven, lay upon my breath. I'm blessed by the light. So my love stays locked and loaded, bringing comfort from afar. I'm talking about that love from the stars. All you have to do is give it a chance and just open your heart. Waiting is amazing, I promise. You'll find treasure in a safe space with peace beyond measure. Just release your pain. See, I bring to you love through black and blue, because that's all I've ever known. From deep within to pull from and give to you. My indigo blue. Not that blue from a bruised heart that stains my veins, but from the source of which I was created. The stars were drawn around my scars because I fell in love with me, and I'm here to help you release your blues. And I know for some of you traveling through, it's still too dark for you to yet see the light. Rest assured, I know my purpose, so I'll shine bright. So bright sometimes, they don't want it out just dimmed, because they still want to reach for it. Keep it lit just a little bit to touch it, just to say they know me and were able to get in. See, only when I make it unavailable to them is when they want to be destruction and get rid of me. And then realizing you can't destroy love. It just moves far out of the way, somewhere off into infinity. Now the well is run dry and can't be tapped back into unless you cry. I mean, release what you've been through. Release the hurt, release the anger, release the pain. You've caused them and they've caused you. Let it run its course and make room for love once again to reign. Love can't sit where it ain't welcome. So don't be alarmed. I'm Indigo Child, and you can seek asylum in my arms, child of the highest light and the purest truth. My aura is golden, and you have just been given a piece, my indigo blue. That's that piece.
Yes.
I love you. I never
thank
get tired
you.
Of hearing this. I
me either.
I pick up on something new every time I hear it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it's less of a poem and more of an affirmation.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what? Most of my pieces are affirmations.
Yeah.
That's what they are, because there's so much more that I want out of this life, and it's so much that I have to give. I have more love in me. I have enough in me to cover galaxies. I promise y'all that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to spread light. So that's pretty much why I write like I do, because I mean that shit that I put down. And I'm an artist, and I'm sensitive about my shit. I mean it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, ladies, which one of you is going first with another piece of masterful beautiful poetry?
I have something else here, so.
Yeah.
Okay, this piece is called Breathe in the Power.
All right, mic is yours.
When my life feels heavy and the weight feels unbearable and words are too hard to come by, the refuge of my existence is to step outside, feel the breeze, see the movements of nature, and understand that there is a power higher than I, a power that directs the winds and the waters, causes the mountains to rumble and the skies to cry. It is that power that designed me, molded me into this vessel, and set me upon this spinning rock with a purpose to discover and fulfill, although I can't always see it, and no human outside of my skin can say how I am to be. So my God lives within, manning the rudder of my life, helping me to guide my steps, especially when I cannot see, while teaching me hard lessons and blessing me with grace. That spirit that resides with me manifests my destiny. It is the soul of me, the still small voice that speaks when I have no words left to say, offers me comfort when I can no longer rest, and sends guiding spirits into my realm when I need them, giving me reassurance and proof that I am seen, even when I feel forgotten and alone. It is the divine within my humanity that leads my way, the greater within me that allows me to face a world that fights constantly for my sanity. The dissonance and discourse that has become normal cannot dictate who or what I was designed to be, because God's grace is sufficient for everything I am, and in due time gives the assurance that sustains me, even when in the gray, I know there's a place of light somewhere. And if I can just hold on one day, I will live in the light. My journey has never been easy. I stumbled through darkness way more than the eye can see. And many times I have wanted to take my final exhale, but that greater power won't let me, urges me to see one more day. A multitude of singular moments, continuing each of the 525,600 minutes that construct the years of my life, with hushed whispers telling me, the hands are still running. Just take your next step. I know you can't understand why, but I have more for you. So I'm speaking out to you and to myself to just continue to breathe all any of us can. And just because you can't see air, you can still feel its life force. And it's all around us, just like God's love. Continue to move in grace, because there is so much more in store. And peace.
Wow. I know that's right. Wow. Talk about manifesting.
I hope that Lady A is still listening, because I feel like both of your pieces came after our conversation with her. Intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these pieces were encouraging and uplifting. I love the spirituality in yours and the reminder and the reassurance that we're not alone. And I feel like these pieces were, it makes sense that they came after that conversation we had with us. I hope she's still listening.
She's still hanging in there. I still see her in the studio. Yes. And
these are perfect pieces.
Absolutely. The encouragement and the self-validation is exactly what is needed to be heard. And that's what you gave to us. This is what you give to us in your pieces. Okay? You tell us about what happened, but you also know who you are. And this is what I love about your pieces, man. This is absolutely beautiful. And to always put the spiritual side in there as well, man, that's perfect. That's perfection right there. I love that piece. Thank you for that. Now,
absolutely.
My baby, Diva. Haven't called you that in a long time. What did you bring? Matter of fact, I'm just going to move out of the way. I'm going to get down off the stage. I'm going to adjust the spotlight just right. And whenever you're ready, mic is yours.
Thank you. I didn't write today. I neglected placing pen to pad. I had but a moment between this day's wait and clarity. I realized that I was holding my breath, the living. So I paused with intention. I removed my being from this space. These pristine walls were in conflict with my spirit. I needed movement like the wind's insistence to lift my skirt just a little. The fountain's insistence to speak louder than my thoughts. I sought the warmth the worn wooden park benches still held until I realized I did write today. I breathed verses in cursive. I sat beside couplets shaded by trees planted generations ago. I watched the haiku turn into mist just before it kissed my eyelids. And I made plans to feel the fading sun soliloquy before the end of this day. I absolutely lived poetry today. I daydreamed in sonnet, pausing with ellipses, your kisses interrupting me mid-sentence. And I read the unspoken part of our conversation as lyric, realizing the refrain and your kiss were the same. I began the journey I was meant to, reciting memories of the last time I met you. But midday, I scribbled tears as hot ink, that fire piece with a meaning that's lost on you. I hide doubts within acrostics, still hopeful that I'm past due for shift. I have no words, and sometimes I go silent. I didn't write today, but I'm living and breathing poetry, essentially.
I was trying to write down something that you were saying, and I missed poetry today, and the unspoken part of our conversation. How powerful that is.
Yes.
That is a connection with someone where it goes to the saying, what's understood doesn't need to be spoken. And, oh, man, that that hit me. I might feel that, you know, I might have to throw that in one of my future pieces. I ain't gonna lie to you. I tell everybody I'm feeling something. Okay. I miss poetry.
Inspiration. Collaboration. I love it.
You know what? You're very, very soft spoken, but you have this truth and conviction within your words. When you speak to us, it just grabs a hold of you a certain kind of way where you just feel like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got that quiet power. She's got that presence. I was blessed to once be in the presence of Toni Morrison, and when Jenny speaks, she reminds me of her.
Oh, wow.
Because she had this way of commanding your attention without actually raising her voice to do so.
Yep.
See, I need to know more about that, because I've always felt like self-conscious about being soft-spoken, and it's like I've always heard you need to speak up, you need to speak up, and I'm like, but that's my voice. I need to look into that. I don't think I've heard her speak. I've read her work, but I don't think I've heard her. I need to look into that.
Yeah, a lot of her own of her books that were done in audio, she did them mm-hmm. herself. It's her voice.
Okay.
But she has this way. Yeah, she did. She actually had come to the university when I was still producing news. She had come to the university, and I was lucky enough to have the time off that day to go and see her speak. And she asked them to turn the mics up. She was like, I don't speak loudly. You may need to turn the mics up. She had a strong voice, but she didn't speak very loud. She had that whole auditorium in the palm of her hand. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody was making noise.
Wow.
That's amazing. My homework is in front of me. That's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm looking into that.
Yes, it was a good 1,500 people in that room, and you could hear a pin drop. She spoke to that crowd, and they were mesmerized.
Wow. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, ladies, I have to express to you how grateful I am that you agreed to do the show with me tonight. I'm so appreciative of it. I really am. Oh, man, I don't think it could have been any better. This is a rarity, but it's such a beautiful thing. The energy between us.
Yeah, this felt good, right?
Yes. And I want to thank you. I'll bow or tip my hat to both of you. Thank you so much for the wonderful commentary, the conversation, man, your input, and the poetry. As always, you know I'm a mega fan of both of you. Always have been. And thank you, my sisters. I love you guys. Any closing words from you?
Oh, thank you for the invitation. You are the reason that I pressed 1 year ago. I'm just putting that out there. I've always felt connected, and this is a safe space. I love that I can come here and be myself. For those that listened in and called in, thank you so much for your support and for sharing with us. That's all I've got.
Lisa?
I want to say that I am quite tickled with being a part of this trio. I want to do more with Epiphany. I've expressed that a couple of different times, and having this opportunity makes me even more hungry to do more. It goes without saying how much I love you, Danielle, and how much you have been a major support in the things that I've been going through lately. And there are days when I wake up and, you know, you have those rough nights and it's hard to sleep and whatever. And it's like you have been peeping in my window, and I'll wake up to some affirmation from you that just makes me feel so much better.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, man. All right, ladies, I'm getting ready to take us out. I want to say thank you, everybody that called in, the listeners, the participators who gave us that beautiful poetry that you brought, the ones who streamed online. I truly, truly appreciate you. Epiphany wouldn't work without you guys. I want you, as I always say, get that good relationship going with yourself. Because that is where spirit lives within. I want you to continue to respect and love one another. And with that, everybody, I'm going to say peace, and I'm going to take us out with this.
Good night, Lee. Okay.
Send me your location, that's focus on communicating, cause I just need a time and place to come through. Send me your location, that's rise the vibrations. I don't need nothing else but you. At times I wonder where I put you, but this is new to me, this is new to you. Initially, I didn't wanna fall for you. Gather my attention, it was all for you. So don't take advantage, don't leave my heart damaged to understand that things go a little bit better when you plan it. Baby, won't you send me your location? Let's focus on communicating, cause I just need a time and place to confirm. Ooh, send me your location, let's rise the vibrations. I don't need nothing else but you. Falling in love now, losing control now, fighting the truth, trying to hide, but I think it's alright, girl. I think it's alright, girl. Yeah. Falling in love now, losing control now, fighting the truth, trying to hide, but I think it's alright now.